glowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air.
Hey, it's Beth here. Episode 534. Okay, yesterday, Diane came into Austin from Colorado. We got the last surviving members of our little group together, which makes us a group of four. Don't lose your old friends. It's so wonderful. Zoom calls are okay. There we were, the four of us just sitting there. And I just went back to the beginning. That's what you can do. 34 years ago, I moved into this neighborhood. House on Redbud Trail. Okay, didn't know anybody. Supposed to be there for a good school district. Brett had learning disabilities, best place in the world for him to be. Okay, we move across town. And I've heard it's snobby, okay? Kind of scared about all that. First day we move in, I get this little note, handwritten by some second grader. Dear Mrs. Webster, we are so happy you're in the neighborhood. Four families with five boys want to come and meet your two boys and introduce them to our lovely neighborhood. Our lovely street is what he said. We'd like to bring over a tea party tomorrow. I was like, wow. Okay, so now it's the end of school. It's the end of May. And I'm like, what? So the next day, got the boys all cleaned up, brushed teeth, everything. The door opens, knock, knock. Now the six boys flood into the house. All the mothers, the three mothers have all this tea party food. And the boys are there and they're like, hello, my name is HB, and this is my mother, Geraldine, and shaking hands with the boys. Hi, I'm Brett. I'm Matt. Okay, what's happening? A tea party? All of a sudden, all the boys are in the living room. They run out to the pool, stripped down to their bathing suits. This was a ruse to get into the only pool within eight blocks. This was a long time ago, and we lived on the side of, like, hard rock cliffs. Only pool. That was why they came. The mothers knew it, I knew it, and we thought it was hilarious. I thought it was hilarious they were duped. They thought it was hilarious they were duped. So we sat out on the patio, watched the kids in the pool, and that began a Friday ritual. Friday evening, at least. Usually I was by the pool with these kids by myself. The first day, there was my realtor gave us it looked like an island with a palm tree on it. And that was in the water. Okay, that died really quickly. And I was told it was from Sharper Image. So the boys and I go back to get another palm tree island for the pool. And there is the iceberg, which we became famous for. This crazy pyramid thing with sand in the bottom that went into the middle of the pool with holes all around it. Kids were flying off of the rest of the summer. I was right there lifeguarding. All the boys except for one boy named Adam had survival skills. That kid, he actually stopped coming, which was good because he was scary. Everyone else knew exactly how to live through what was happening. We had a border collie named Ben who kept nipping on people's ankles so they would run really fast back into the water on the iceberg. Hilarious, fun summer. Best move ever. And Friday afternoon, moms would show up, and those moms and more moms and more kids, and we would have a little cocktail party. And this went on for two fabulous months, till one time, this one named Nancy, who actually went to Vassar, she was very smart, except for visual. Visual displays were not her strong suit. She came one time with a half a gallon of vodka, a bottle. The kids had never noticed that we were drinking wine. They did enjoy our appetizers and hors d'oeuvres. They come swooping in like locusts, grab deviled eggs and leave. But they saw this woman come with a bottle of vodka. Nobody liked it but her. She hardly drank any of it. It's just that that was the container. Matt, my son, said, "Mom, I think it's amazing that you're drinking. And I think it's wonderful. And the longer you go, you mom sit there, the louder you get." It's like, oh, shoot. It was the end of the summer, but we were caught. And so we switched it up to meeting at restaurants on a Thursday or Tuesday, I can't remember, at lunchtime. And the group got a little bit bigger. And every restaurant we chose, it was kind of funny, would close within 4 or 5 months till we landed at this franchise, Jason's Deli, not going to close anytime soon. And we'd have a great time. And it was iced tea. Nobody was watching. And that's what our group turned into. We picked up a stalker at Jason's Deli. It took us months to figure it out. But this guy was hiding behind his paper, listening to everything we said. And his paper would start shaking. We weren't even that talking about things like that. He finally got frightened of us when he heard about our plan to go to Eric Clapton's rehab center. No one had met Eric Clapton. That was the only, nobody'd seen him in concert, nothing. We found out that he had a rehab center called Crossroads in Antigua. We decided we would test positive for drugs, go down there when he was there, and be cured. He'd be so dazzled by how quickly we got cured. One of us, the husband was a psychiatrist. We thought we'd take poppies or whatever you have to do. We figured out that was wrong. And it was very wrong. We were just sickened by our lack of integrity, pride, or anything. And so what happened was I wrote a screenplay about that. And the songs were twisted, like the girls were all of his girlfriends, you know, all Eric Clapton's girls were our age, like in our 40s. Layla, our head girl in the story, married to a doctor who turns to a private practice and starts making massive amounts of money. Starts taking tennis lessons, and he's got a great tennis instructor. So Layla, the words are twisted because the husband had her on her knees. All the songs were twisted up by age. And Eric Clapton read it, brought it to Hollywood. This is my sob story. And he was going to get us a green light. Hollywood, Columbia Pictures and Records said, "No, you can't do it. You're an icon." So I get a letter from Eric Clapton, goes to the producer. Eric Clapton has decided to err on the side of caution. It became like one of our great stories. Of course, it was heartache for me, as usual, but almost the brass ring. So we kind of had a little, glow about us, I would say. But the thing that was so great for me is they knew Brett. Diane actually said that her greatest memory of Brett is him in this huge, kind of jeepy thing that he had with big wheels and just driving around. She said he drove around carefully, but he was so proud of that truck. And that she knows that she saw him, that my life isn't something I made up. It's people saw me. They saw him. They saw Brett. They saw us. They saw Kit. We existed. You just start wondering about yourself. You know, 34 years later, when you're not picking up anybody from preschool or bringing cupcakes to any kind of a party, that you even did it at all. that you had a life. And there I was with the four of us, the, you know, survivors. And it's so important. And I know we're crazy. And I know we're not busy anymore. We're kind of more irritating, I suppose. Each of us in our own way. Whatever our flaws were before, they're massively accentuated by the fact that we're older and we're not really that useful. There's a lot of time that we have on our hands. But we're all still here. And we're all still nice. And you gotta forgive your friends. They gotta forgive you. Don't lose your old friends. It was just so wonderful. And I kind of went back in time a little bit. I could feel it all. And two of us still live in their original homes, but two of us don't. And we don't pick up anybody at the high school or the grammar school or whatever. It's all a memory, but it was like I could touch it yesterday. So I'm just begging you, don't lose your old friends. Diane came into town. She was in Dallas. She drove with her husband into town. Thank you, Dalton. Gave us a day like no other. Next time we're going to meet her halfway. When she comes into Dallas to see her kids or grandkids, we're going to meet her halfway. We're not going to let another one go by. We don't have time. And plus, it was great. So I'm just begging you, don't lose your old friends. If you have to just make a really hard call and travel to see them again, believe me, it's worth it. Absolutely worth it. Don't lose them. And do your Zoom calls. They're great. But there's nothing like being in person. And nobody's cutting anybody off. The conversation just flows like it's supposed to because we can see each other. It was just 2 hours of loveliness. So you got old friends. You know you do. They know your story. They were there. They were there. That's the important thing. Just go back. Visit them in person. Just do it. I mean, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to Waco. Talk about, you know, like sacrifice. Nobody goes to Waco. I'm going to go to Waco to see her. And I can't wait. It'll probably be 6 months or a year, but I can't wait. So, just, whoa, I had no idea that was that important. So, anyway, don't lose your old friends. Stay sane. And I will be back.